Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello there and welcome to the show. Dan here along with Michael and Rob. It's the weekly show, The Transfer Roundup, brought to you with Levi Solicitors. 10% discount on your legal fees, levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. We had a lot of fun, didn't we, with Will's probate and conveyancing in January.
They're still my favourites.
Yeah.
Even if the discount isn't as big as it was.
What are your favourites, Rob?
Well, do you know what? In the pub before, there must have been the Brentford game. My friends just kept saying prostate because we were trying to get me to say Will's conveyancing and prostate. But so that's my favourite.
I'll get that checked too, but not by Levi Solicitors.
They don't do that.
It's not their area of expertise, is it? They can help you no matter where you are in the country, by the way. So loads of services there. Get on the website, book an appointment, and they will speak to you. What else do you like apart from those three services? What's your favourite?
Oh,
I tested you the other day. You should be able to remember.
And I've opened the website this time.
You're an idiot.
Cheating. Residential property disputes. I like them.
Well, you've taken all the fun out of this game now where you stumble and you don't know. Go on, Rob.
What do solicitors do? Libeled, they do that.
No,
do they?
No.
If you've got a bad prostate exam, you're not going to get them for medical negligence.
Okay. What would you class? No, let's not get into that. Levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. We thank them for their support. 10% discount on your legal fees as well if you go through Levi's. Should we do the transfer roundup then? Or should we hawk off some mugs or should we just do that as we go?
I'll do it as we go.
Okay. We will hawk off some mugs at you in a bit on YouTube and in your podcast app. The weekly show, the transfer show, it's now the 1st of February, so the window has, as they say, slammed shut. Do some sound effects, Michael. Was that the window? I was thinking more like a... like Sky Sports. There we go. That's the annual...
No, I was doing the slamming, but...
Slamming shut.
Never mind.
Transfer window, what do you make of it then? Weston McKennie confirmed, obviously, before the window shut. Verba, Rutter, not forgetting Diogo Monteiro.
It's been good, hasn't it?
It's been unsettlingly good. I'm so freaked out by it a little bit. Like, it got to last night, and I was like, you know what, I'm not going to look at my phone or anything. Everything seems fine. There were those kind of whispers still about Jack Harrison and the guy at Roma, Zaniolo. And yeah, just before I went to sleep, I thought, I'm just going to have one quick check. And it was Eamon, our designer, and he was tweeting, basically saying, please don't sell Jack Harrison. So I was like, oh shit, have we sold Jack Harrison? But then had a quick check and like, no, it all seems to be going fine, which is weird.
I'd love to know how touch and go that one actually ended up and how late in the window it went, because they were still talking about it quite late on Sky Sports.
It's almost as if someone was desperately trying to sell him.
Yeah.
But it was Romano, wasn't it? He mentioned it a few times, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, I know he just tweets about every transfer because that's somehow his job.
Yeah.
Good luck to him, I suppose.
You say that, but look at this as a job for us.
It was weird to focus on like almost the least interesting bit of football.
But it's not, is it? It's the bit that hooks everybody in. It's kind of the special sauce, isn't it? It's transfers.
This is the weird bit though, when it shuts and he just carries on. You think, but it's not happening. It's really bizarre. It was Maurizio Sarri, I think, when he was Napoli manager or Juve manager, he sort of said, it's blamed the media for kind of conditioning us to only talk about transfers as if it's the most important thing, because that's all the media talks about, because it's what gets clicks, I guess.
I'm told anecdotally that during the transfer window and the lead up to it, it gets about 3 or 4 hours a night's sleep. That's it.
It's his choice. Got to sleep, you idiot.
But then again, did you see that last night he put
People can do without knowing the latest on who Chelsea are buying.
Like at about 10:30 last night he put out, it was a thing for Adidas, wasn't it, about the new Predator boots. I mean, with the fact that we're talking about it on here, says it shows that it worked. And I checked and it had like 1.7 million views. So like a sponsored post, I mean. So, and he's got, what, 12, 13 million followers. So it's decent. It's a decent grift if that's the job, isn't it?
You do think that. Just get 8 hours sleep. It's going to happen. Like, you can still tweet about it. It's fine.
You can't exactly... It's not like he's been up saving dying children and that's why he's not getting sleep, is it? It's like, no, I need to give people the latest on which winger Leicester are trying to sign.
Yeah, but if he's beaten to it by somebody else, then he's not as people perceive him, the GOAT, is he? So you've got to stay on top of it. And we saw him and some friends were sat on a settee chatting about
like a shop or something.
Yeah, strange, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Anyway. But
I did enjoy his tweet the other day.
Our transfer window was good.
It was. I was going to say, I enjoyed, just to close this thought out, the tweet the other day, because he's obviously getting some sort of deal with Turkish Airlines, but he also used the word hijack in the same tweet as reporting a transfer and tagged an airline in it. Not two bedfellows that normally go together that well.
No, probably not.
No. Anyway, yes, our transfer window was very, very good. Funny how the policy's changed, doesn't it?
No bloody left back still.
Yeah, but, you know, is it not now a case that...
Well, we did buy a left back. He's just since become a centre back, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's become a best centre back.
Yeah.
But is it not the case now that you come out of this window feeling more confident and you think, well, presumably they're going to address the left back. You've got confidence in them addressing it in the next window, is what I mean.
Yeah, you would think so, wouldn't you? We wanted a midfield. I think when Click was leaving, I mean, Click leaving was its own whole thing, wasn't it? It was about his legacy and what he's done for us and stuff. But part of the concern around him leaving as well was, well, we don't really have any other midfielders. So for them to address that in quite spectacular fashion, I think is more than anyone probably would have hoped for.
Yeah, we were
go
saying
and get a Champions League midfielder.
Well, that's what we were saying on the Phil Hay show, weren't we? Exactly that point, Michael, that we got a Champions League midfielder who's going to be a starter. It's not someone like Click who was just coming off the bench, who's 32 years old. And I said, you know, we love Matthias Click. Would still love him to be here, but you can't ignore the fact that bringing in a 24-year-old Champions League level midfielder is a pretty big step up in terms of the quality of the squad overall.
Yeah, I think this is kind of the ideal way a window should work, in that you buy two or three players who improve your starting 11, and that's how you improve your squad depth, because then people then, you know, the pecking order kind of changes. And
so it's like the baseline level improves, doesn't
it? Yeah, like I always think of Tottenham trying to sign back up for Harry Kane, and it's bizarre because you're deliberately trying to sign someone worse than what you've got, because you know he's not going to get ahead of Harry Kane. So it's like, and I think that's maybe where Leeds have been guilty in the past, is that they've focused so much on the youth recruitment, and it's great to have that talent bubbling underneath, but you do need to just go out and make your team better and
challenge the players that are in the squad, like the youth, to say, right, if you're good enough, you'll make it here.
Yeah, and likewise the players that are in our first team now, you know, playing with better players should hopefully make them better players themselves, and it makes their job easier. So yeah, it's been a really good window. The left back thing, you know, it irritates me, but at the same time, I think we could have, I've said it in the past, but we could have prime Terry Cooper at left back, and just the way we set up, we will still do the things that annoy us. It's like the kid who's just signed a new contract and he's playing in the under 21s, I've forgotten his name, the ginger lad.
But oh yeah,
he is an actual left back, and it's like, wow, we found one. And then you watched the under 21s last week, and he's still doing the same annoying things that, you know, he's still just, you still see their right winger or right back streaming up the field, and you think, well, we've got a left back, shouldn't they be stopping it? But it's just the way we play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think the stuff about squad depth made me think about Harrison, because I know when he comes to the idea of letting him go, part of you does go, well, does he even get in it? If everyone's fit, does he even get in our team? Do we need him? If Sinisterra's fit, if Rutter turns out to be good, if Somerville's back, Nonto looks brilliant, like, where does he fit into it? But then you think, well, a lot of those are still unknowns, aren't they? Because Sinisterra's coming back from injury. Rutter we've seen, you know, once. And Nonto he's been brilliant, but over a short period of time, at some point his form will presumably dip. So having a reliable player like Harrison in there, like we're allowed a depth of squad, which yeah, I think is something we've almost not allowed ourselves, which is partly Bielsa's fault, because he didn't like a deep squad. He was like, well, we've got Tyler Roberts, we've got Jimmy Shackleton. These players are absolutely fine. But maybe they're not.
But the truth of the Premier League is, segues into the point I was going to make, is that actually with five subs now, you need a better bench because you're able to use subs sometimes at half time to change a game. Whereas you might have been less inclined to do that in the past when you had three subs. You think, well, I don't want to use two now at half time, but you can do that. So therefore, your overall squad depth has to be bigger, I think, doesn't it? And it has to be better. And you look around at, you know, other teams in our sort of ballpark, and they've all got 20, 25 million pound players on the bench. It doesn't have to just be the pathway. The pathway can exist and should exist. And I'm proud that we're a club that looks to develop young players. But ultimately, I think they've got to be good enough, and they've got to prove that they're good enough, rather than being given an automatic pathway through into the first team. It's like seeing Gelhardt now. He's now got the platform to go out and prove his chops at Sunderland, particularly with Ross Stewart getting injured. So if he goes there and starts banging in goals, it's that proverbial nice problem to have.
Yeah, and have been able to, particularly with attacking players, just occasionally you'll get a winger who is a good winger, but they just meet their match on a day and their style just sort of butts up against someone and you can see it's not working.
So you change it.
So being able to go, okay, we'll just put another good winger on.
We just need to see Jesse do that now, don't we? Because he talks about it a lot, and he talks about wanting these weapons and being proactive from the bench and kind of not seeing the difference between starting players and substitutes. They're all part of the team. But then he often just sits on his hands and doesn't make any changes until the 70th minute. It's like, right, you've got the options now to go do it.
I was going to say, you do wonder how much that has been dictated by the options and whether he didn't necessarily have the faith in some players that, you know, because I think Jesse Marsh has probably been guilty of talking up the players because he's trying to create this sort of positive atmosphere and this oneness within the dressing room. But you wonder if maybe deep down he thinks, well, you know, he's not necessarily going to change the game in the way that I might want, whereas now he's got that.
You saw it against, I think it was Brentford though, where it was like, right, come on, we need a bit of impetus now. And he did have options on the bench that day. So you just hope that, yeah, we start to see them and it could be really exciting.
And it also lends us more towards playing 4-3-3. It looks like that's going to be the way forward, doesn't it? You suspect, given the midfield options.
I mean, that's the one thing with McKennie, is that there's not an obvious spot for him, I wouldn't say, in this team, in the way we play. But you kind of assume he's going to play because he's our most expensive player. Well, he will be if we actually buy him and trigger all the loan stuff, which we look likely to, I think.
But you're forgetting about Ruta there, aren't you?
No, but isn't McKennie going to be...
It'll be about 30 million. Ruta could go up to 35.
Oh, but
we're splitting hairs.
It's a lot anyway. Yeah,
loads of money.
It's loads of money. Yeah. So you're going to imagine he'd go in. I mean, yeah, I think him into midfield, maybe instead of Aronson or something, would seem the most logical way of doing it.
Again, you're going back to having kind of a wealth of options. But that 4-3-3, as much as we speak about it being a big shift, at times it looks like 4-2-3-1, at times it looks like 4-2-2-2-2-2-2. So it's kind of like, it just depends who's in there. Like, if Harrison is in that midfield three, that sometimes does look like 4-2-3-1 then, or it does kind of change and shape shift, which I think I like about it. I don't know. But yeah, now it could be maybe a stable thing with McKennie, Adams, Rocker in there. But then again, you have the options from the bench to change it.
I'm interested to see how he does them, McKennie, because I think he's an actual box-to-box midfielder, which we don't have in the current setup, because we've got Adams who sits, Rocker who sort of sits and dictates, but then there's not, I guess it's Aronson's job at the moment to pick the ball up and run through midfield with it, but he's a bit lightweight to do it. Whereas McKennie's a lot more, a much sturdier looking man.
Yeah, and there's a real unknown attractiveness. There's a real exciting, what's the word here? It's an intangible, I guess it is, between McKennie and Tyler Adams, because they know each other and they're friends. And does that add something to it as well? They've just got that instinctive kind of mates level understanding of how they play.
Well, McKennie said Tyler Adams had nothing to do with his decision.
do you think it was slightly tongue in cheek, that?
Perhaps,
I really enjoyed, by the way, that Adams interviewing McKennie. I thought that was really well done on LUTV.
I liked him recommending a Yorkshire pudding wrap, which I think is quite niche actually, but then saying, I mean, I've not had one myself yet.
I like McKennie because I've, like everyone, I've been watching a lot of YouTube stuff of him, like little documentaries and stuff, but he comes across as a good bloke.
Yeah, he's got, and there's little clicky elements to his personality, like you know, the whole celebrating, doing the Harry Potter celebrations and just having a bit of fun with it all as well. It doesn't all need to be completely serious, does it?
Yeah, and just the way he talks about his childhood and stuff, it seems like him and his brother have got a nice relationship. I was thinking about it actually with Jesse's birth order thing, because he's the youngest, isn't he? He's got an older brother and an older sister, so I don't know where that fits in exactly, but it seems like he was just a kind of a bit of a cheeky kid.
I think it sort of toughened him up, having an older brother, cause on that documentary, Western McKennie story, he talks about being, he's got a scar under his eye from where his brother pushed him into the telly. Yeah. Well, that's what his brother claims anyway, and Western's more like,
he picked me up and slammed me.
Yeah. Should mention that it's well worth noting that he can't drink espresso, otherwise he shits himself, which is a nice... Yeah, part of his personality.
It does wallop the old guts, doesn't it? The old strong coffee.
It gets things moving.
It does. If you have too much of it, you're not careful.
I've basically written on the blog that we just can't give him any Red Bull. Got to keep it away from him. Or the boost, I guess.
McKennie also seems like one of those players who, and I'm not naive enough to think that players will come to Leeds and stay forever anymore. I accept that part and parcel of where we are in our evolution, in our life cycle in the Premier League, we might have to keep on trading for a bit and, you know, selling players to keep trading up or whatever. But he strikes me as one of those footballers, a little bit like Matt Click and maybe a little bit like Tyler Adams as well, who finds like something really good at Leeds. Like, I was going to say that the phrase I was going to use was forever home, but it's not a forever home because it's a football team, and it's a football club. And like I said, they don't stay forever. They always don't fall in love, kids. They'll only ever leave you. But I just get the feeling he's going to really get it. He's going to really enjoy Leeds as an experience.
I hope so. I think the Click comparison is interesting because I think he's got, enough seriousness about his game that he'll impress us, but enough about him otherwise to take it in his, take some of the more unsavoury bits of it in his stride, hopefully. And I could, you need a balance of taking football very seriously and not seriously at all, I think, at times. So I think he's got that. And he should have more than enough pedigree to come in and make a massive difference to the team as well.
I know McKennie and Ruter and everyone have come in and spoken about the atmosphere and stuff, and I am very intrigued for those two to make their home debuts against Scum. And you think you've seen the photo, you've seen the videos, and you think it's intense. It's like, yeah, could be beyond your expectations, perhaps, that game.
Yeah, I think they'll enjoy it, won't they?
Home debut red card.
Michael, you always have to drag it down, don't you? What do you think of the shape of the squad overall now then? Because Llorente's obviously gone on loan to Roma, which is funny, isn't it, how people have been dead nice to him. Now he's no longer our problem kind of thing. You know, like, say, oh, good luck, Diego. You always tried your best for us and kind of thing. You know, when he's tweeted about it.
It's like getting rid of a really shit car that you then start looking back on fondly. Like, oh, that was great, wasn't it, that car? It was funny how it used to always break down.
We had some good times in it. But I like Llorente for reasons I can't quite put my finger on why it is.
Can you put your thumb on it?
Yeah, I could put my thumb on it. But we were saying this in propaganda, weren't we, when we did it a day or two back. There's something about Diego Llorente I can't help but like. Maybe just because he's played for us, his physical comedy, I don't know. The fact he always just looks a bit confused, the pinged balls into midfield, and you think, what are you trying to do, you maniac?
I mean, yeah, I always liked that he always looked kind of, he always reminded me of like a stern granddad or something. But then he had this kind of physical comedy element to him. But I mean, to be fair to him, when he got fit in his first season, he was like, bloody hell, where have we got this guy from? He was great that second half of the first season back in the Premier League. But then, yeah, it all got a bit stressful at the club in general. And I don't think that really helped Diego, bless him.
I hope he does well. And I think he can probably reinvent himself because he's not of an age where you think he's completely dropped off a cliff and you're like, oh, actually, no, he can't do it anymore.
Is he 29?
Yeah, so he should still be absolutely fine. And he has played for Spain and he's played in La Liga and he was good for us for a time. So players need changes, don't they, sometimes?
I am very intrigued by what Mourinho is going to make of him. Mm. He doesn't strike me as a Mourinho defender.
No, not really. Just slapping him about the face for the first couple of months.
But it's a good deal from a Leeds perspective, isn't it? In the sense
it's
that
a miracle.
We've had effectively what thought to be his best years out of him age-wise, and then to recoup the money that we paid.
Although we're not sure at this stage if it's, how much of it is an option, how much of it is an obligation.
Well, let's assume it goes through. To be able to do that, if it goes through to its natural conclusion, then yeah, we've done all right, haven't we?
We have to say, Victor Orta was right. When he gave out that contract, if we actually get the money for him, when he gave out that contract, everyone was like, but yeah, we're tying him down for his worst years here. What are we doing?
So but, Wednesday the 1st of February, note this then, Victor Orta was right.
Well, he might have been, yeah. It's a weird thing to that he's just signed his contract, though, because it's a bit Matt Smith, isn't it? The sign a new deal, then get sold.
Well, before the World Cup, I kind of poked fun at Victor because he did an interview where he was talking about the excitement of the Leeds players going to the World Cup and being revalued, was the way he put it. And the players he mentioned were Rodrigo and Llorente and Matt Click. And you sort of think, are any of these players going to really shoot up in value? But I suppose giving Llorente was a way of protecting that value. But it is, football's just fucking mental, isn't it? Like, even giving him a new contract, how that kind of convinces Roma to go, oh yeah, 18 million, we'll potentially give you that. None of it makes sense.
I was just going to say, none of it makes
it's
sense.
It's pointless trying to make sense of it, I guess.
That is football, isn't it? Elsewhere, away from the transfers, if we're done on that.
I think the ones going out, the others going out, I suppose, would be the loanees. I think the ones that have gone out on loan, and I suppose Cresswell needs covering in this as well because we nearly sold him yesterday, apparently, didn't we?
Yeah.
Be interested to see £4 million to Stoke.
Where his future lies, yeah. And maybe they've not done that because of the whole missing the recall window. So he's got to stay at Millwall. And then maybe that's something they do in the summer. It's funny how his star has fallen to an extent, hasn't it? And whether they just see other options as better or more viable. Or maybe it's just they take this opportunity to bring in £4 million for a young player.
There's a long time to go, though, to see how that loan with Millwall pans out. I know it's not gone as well as we all hoped, and especially when he scored 2 goals on his debut and everyone seemed to think that was just going to happen every week from now. But it's part of being a footballer, isn't it? Getting dropped and trying to work your way back into the team. And he still played more than he would have played at Leeds. Mm. So things can change. And I mean, I was reading about Eddie Nketiah the other day and how the season he joined Leeds, he'd started to work with like an external personal trainer and stuff. And it showed you a photo of his physique then to his physique now, and he's like completely different. He's quite stacked now, and it's
give his number to Brendan.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. It's like you think of Joffe as well at Sunderland. Like maybe that, you know, these players are still all maturing, aren't they? And jumping to judgments on him now, it's really different. We don't know what he's going to become, do we?
No,
like,
no,
he could come back. He could play another 20 games between now and the end of the season, and suddenly he's coming back to Leeds.
Yeah, and I know you look at young players who you think of them sometimes bursting into first teams and staying there, but actually, if you look at the England squad, people like Kane had times out on loan.
Foden was used very sparingly as well, wasn't he, at Man City?
Yeah, and someone like Ben White was, when he was Cresswell's age, he'll have been at Newport or Peterborough, won't he, or somewhere. So the path isn't always obvious, is it? And Nick Hilder and Drama are two others that have gone out and, you know, I think have got a chance of coming back and maybe establishing themselves as well. So, yeah, we'll see with all of them.
It all shines a light on the Premier League too, the under-21s not being very good as a standard. Like, you used to have the reserves, didn't you, where you could sort of blood young players and see them break through against you know, men. But it's gone, hasn't it? And the standard of Premier League 2 is quite lightweight versus Premier League proper. So how do you bridge that gap? Well, it's get game time, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Jesse touched upon that recently, and he actually described it as like, we need to decide whether to send them out on loan to play real football, which is kind of the reflection of the 21s, you know, it's just not real. And you see it with like Darko JB, you know, he can look great, but then he kind of does some daft stuff, which just doesn't get punished at that level.
Yeah, I think Joffe will do well at Sunderland. I'm glad he's gone to Sunderland, actually. I know him going back to Wigan was kind of a nice story, but I think if you're looking for a level and a stadium that's more like Elland Road, the stadium I like is probably not a bad place for it, because there's an expectant fan base there, and there's going to be a degree of pressure that he probably wouldn't have had at Wigan.
Yeah, and would it be too easy, actually, you know, to go back into your comfort zone there at Wigan?
Yeah, that's what I mean. And because do they even have a manager at the moment?
No, Torre got fired, didn't he?
So he'd be going there without a manager. They're expected to go down, whereas Sunderland are not necessarily expected to go up, but they're around the playoffs, aren't they?
They're aspiring to it, yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like that's a tough one for him. And I'm glad for, I feel we owe Sunderland after sending them Lawrence de Bock.
Well, with reference to Sunderland, we could have them in the FA Cup, couldn't we, if they see off Fulham. And it's 50 years on from 1973, everybody.
I'm sure that won't be mentioned at all in the coverage.
It's a one-off game, this, isn't it? There's no replay and no extra time. Does it go straight to penalties, this one? I can't quite remember if there's extra time or not. But there's definitely no replay.
There's no replay.
But it's not a horrific draw, is it? I mean, ultimately, you can't have easy ties all through the FA Cup unless you're Man United. But you're going to have to beat somebody good at some point.
I did see in comparison to our 12 aways in a row, I think they've had 9 cup ties in a row at home now and been drawn at home or something.
Yeah.
And I think that does include League and FA Cup. But
heated balls, Michael.
What's that got to do with it?
Hey. But it's an interesting tie, isn't it? And it'll be midweek for the week where we straddle February into March. Presumably that's going to be on the telly if we play Sunderland. Fulham, I'm not sure. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe not.
I mean, you say we can't have an easy draw all the way through, but I'm looking at the rest of the draws. The winners of Southampton v Luton, that's the replay. Oh no, sorry, Southampton v the winner of Luton or Grimsby. I wouldn't mind that in the next round.
That would have been fine, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a home tie against any of these I would have fancied, I suppose. There was only really, let's face it, Man City and Scum in there that you'd want to desperately avoid.
Yeah, it's wide open, isn't it? It really is. So there's the Scum, Spurs as well to an extent.
To an extent, but they're not great, are they?
No, we could beat them.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas you look at Man United, which it's just sort of a bit of kryptonite, isn't it, is Man United?
Yeah.
Maybe we get past that this season.
I mean, look at that final tie, Ipswich Town or Burnley v Sheffield Wednesday or Fleetwood. Mm. We've got to fucking win this cup. Just get all the terrible teams and we can do it.
Not winning the cup, commiserations to the women who lost 9-0 against Arsenal at Boreham Woods, which sounds a lot worse than it actually is, because you're talking absolutely huge gap in standards. Like, you look at Leeds to Accrington Stanley over the weekend, it's magnitudes of that, isn't it? The haves and the have-nots in the women's game. Arsenal made a world record bid, didn't they, before their window shut?
Yeah, which admittedly,
women's window.
Only £500,000, but £500,000 is many times the entire Leeds budget.
For
several years.
They're a full-time team. Leeds train twice a week. There was an interview in the Times with Danielle Whittam or Witham. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it, but she's talking about having to swap shifts and finish work early to get to training because she's a firefighter and it's just an absolute pain in the ass to even get to training.
Yeah, Olivia Smart that we spoke to on the extra ball as well. Have a look at that. That's worth a look, because she details all that herself, you know, and she's working within the NHS, like high level surgery practicing and things like that. It's like, this is transplants we're doing, and you're like, and then you're trying to find time to go training around all this, and you know, your body clock's all over the place from shift work. It's like, just imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, the odds told their own story when Arsenal were 1,000-1 on to win this game.
Really?
You don't get that. Like, I think when England play San Marino, it's not 1,000-1 on. It's as ludicrous as it sounds. So, but yeah, good experience, I suppose, to play at a higher level and something to, I guess, to know where the level is as well.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Part two is the preview of the visit to Notts Forest on Sunday. Are we playing on Sunday with a televised game, aren't we? 2:00. What have you made of Forest this season? And they're absolutely, I mean, we're segueing straight in off the back of talking about transfers, so I guess that's the obvious jump off point, isn't it? They've gone absolutely insane.
Completely and utterly. I suppose it's working.
Poor Lewis O'Brien. Did he get his move in the end or not?
I don't think it actually went anywhere in the end. Did he? I can't remember.
The loan window for the EFL is still open, I think, isn't it? So that might yet happen.
Ah, fair enough. Yeah, I think they're already moving out quite a few players, aren't they, that they signed in summer?
It was the kid they signed from Watford.
Dennis. Yeah, they got a job, a lot of players, and then they're like filtering through, and once they've got them, they're like, oh shit, these. I mean, you know what we've got these for?
I really like the Keylor Navas signing. It's like that annoying keeper from Scum has got injured for a few weeks, and like, oh, shit, well, they've actually got like 4 other goalkeepers. Yeah. Like, no, we'll get another just for these 3 weeks he's injured.
Do you think that'll see Henderson back in the under-21s when he comes back from injury?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Be all right there for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, they've spent an absolutely frightening amount of money.
Jonjo Shelvey's a weird one as well, signing him. They've given him like a 3-year deal as well, haven't they? Just feels insane. I know their fans will be kind of happy that they've got a big squad and everything, but I would definitely be worried if I was a Notts Forest fan right now. Mm.
How does it all fit together?
Because you'd be thinking, well, what happens next? In summer, like we've got to, because there are financial fair play stuff. And I read some stuff around the summer transfer window saying how they're just about potentially going to stay on the right side of it. But if you risk going down with a squad like that, it's a bit terrifying because they're not going to be able to move everyone on that easily.
What are the allowable losses? Is it 105 million over 3 years?
Yes.
As Chelsea are going to find out, it's a real problem.
Yeah, but they've given everyone 40-year contracts, haven't they? So it's spread out. But it just also gives them no wriggle room. But
you would imagine given what they've spent, that they're not going to be far off hitting that. I mean, we know from our experience that your first year back up, actually, you get a bit of a free hit, don't you? Because your wages don't skyrocket. You know, your overheads and your costs are not as high as they end up being sort of 2-3 years down the line when you start renewing contracts. Because football has ultimately become aware of what they can earn elsewhere.
Oh, the Forest came up with no players, didn't they? That was one of those.
That's true, yeah.
But the thing, because so many of these are on loans or short-term deals and stuff, they're going to potentially go down with no players as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a risky business, but equally, they've got 21 points in the 13th, so.
Have they got 21? That's annoying, isn't it?
Yeah. Quite good, actually.
Quite good, yeah. I mean, in fairness, if you just win our simple game in hand against Scum, then we can be on that too. It's annoying, we were meant to play them earlier in the season, weren't we? And it was the game when they were shit. But the game got Queen? Was it one of the Queen cancellations? It wasn't it? The Queen cancellations, like she ruled that they should be. But yeah, in that in that batch, but they've picked up a lot recently.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, this one. I think in terms of where it sits for us, like, and Jesse's overall position, because it is really is do or die time, and you know the addition of the players that we have added in the transfer window, I think, has left him. Is it fair to say nowhere to hide? Not that he's hiding, but it's the only phrase that immediately springs to mind.
He's been backed more than any Leeds manager has ever been backed in a January transfer window. So, yeah, make it work.
Start winning. It is sort of that simple, isn't it? I mean, I know we've had some kind of fun results in the cup recently, I guess, but it's still... I mean, when did we last win? Bournemouth? Was it in the league?
Yeah, it will have been, right,
which was bonfire night. I know there's been a World Cup and stuff, but yeah, we really need to start seeing some returns on all this, because it is a good squad. I think we've got a good squad. I don't think we can't keep kind of, again, not to want to use that word, but hiding behind, oh, it's, you know, we're still kind of learning the tactics and all that. Mm. It's like, come on, just start winning.
Then. It needs to start delivering results, doesn't it?
I've no idea what team he picks in this, I have to say.
You'd imagine...
Does McKennie go straight in?
I think McKennie goes straight in. Maybe. Or maybe, I don't know. It's hard to know, isn't it, whether he's meshed in enough.
He should be fit, because he's come in. It's not like when in previous years when we've signed like Big Kev or someone and he'd not played for ages. You know, he has been playing regularly.
Well, let's work it backwards then. So from the front, assuming because there's been rumours of Rodrigo being injured this week, which have not been either cleared up one way or another. So assuming he's fit, he starts up front.
Probably. Bamford's got... He's a Forest fan, isn't he, Bamford?
He's from there, isn't he, I think?
Yeah.
I think in his early career, he was at there. Was he in their academy?
Yeah, I think so. And maybe he was certainly Stern John was his idol, wasn't he? I'm sure I've read that before, which is strange.
But you won't take Rodrigo out unless he's injured. He's on a hot streak, isn't he? So he's your number nine. And then do we do 4-3-3? Do we have three players behind Rodrigo? And if so, who do you pick? Because Nonto's obviously got to be one of the first names on the team sheet. Mm. Would you put Ruta straight in?
No, I think he'll drop out.
You think?
I would say so.
Sinisterra's back fit, isn't he? Harrison's there. I hope this is the game, sounds harsh, but Aronson just gets dropped to the bench.
Yeah.
Because we've got the options now. Let's just stop putting him in the firing line for people to shout at him and moan at him, because we've got players now, and if he is out of form, cool, let him regain his form, I guess.
Yeah. I'm feeling a 4-3-3. I think Ruta might start with Nonto on the left and Rodrigo through the middle. But where's Jackie play then? I don't know.
I think Jackie's in instead of Ruta.
I think he's
still quite, because he actually isn't fit, is he? And I was saying McKennie should be fit enough to slot right in.
Mm.
Ruta isn't. He'd not been playing for ages, had he? So
he did
all right the other game, but it was not. I don't think it was that good that you've got to start him.
Good weapon to bring off the bench.
Let's not do the weapons thing.
We're not using weapons. The right to bear arms and all that. The American takeover continues. McKennie straight in then. I'd say so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, fuck it, chuck him in.
What would Forrest do?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't think anyone knows, do they? That's the thing.
Yeah, should we just spend 10 minutes or so talking about each one of their signings?
Well, do you know what? One of these, I watched them against, must have been against Scum in the League Cup, and you watch Forrest and you don't have a clue who any of the players are, but they have this new midfielder called Gustavo Scarpa, who they signed from Brazil. And I really like him. He looks like he should be on the cover of the NME in like 2006. He's got like long, shaggy hair, bit of a headband, and he kept like trying to score left-footed volleys. I don't know who this guy is. I think he's about 29, 30. And you just sort of think, why? How have these people rocked up at Notts Forest? It's really weird.
And they've got Chris Wood, of course, as well now.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Is he on loan from Newcastle, or did they get him permanently?
I think alone. But Newcastle, let's face it. Newcastle don't want him back.
No.
Where they're going.
He was a short-term measure, wasn't he?
Yeah, where they're going, they don't need Chris Wood.
Although, Callum Wilson is made out of biscuits, and what's his name? Isaac keeps getting injured, doesn't he? So maybe they do need him back, who knows?
I think we'll just spend another £50 million on a better player in summer, probably. So yeah, I guess he might start. He started the last game.
Gibbs White's injured, isn't he?
Let's say yes.
Great.
I think Andy Reid, is he still knocking about?
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to, as long as we can keep Brian Roy under control, then Pierre Van Hooijdonk's supply should be cut off.
Excellent. What have they been up to recently then, Forrest? And what's their style? Let's have a look.
I mean, their weakness. They've got two strengths. which are aerial duels, which they're strong at, and stealing the ball from the opposition. But they do have a lot more weaknesses, which sound a lot more important to me, which is keeping possession, finishing scoring chances, defending attacks down the wings, defending against long shots.
Wings, pointless.
Fair point. Defending against through balls, protecting the lead, defending set pieces, and avoiding fouls in dangerous areas. They're very weak at that.
Should we just go win it?
I think that'd be good.
We're going to have to win at some point, aren't we?
Yeah, I think we need to, and we should probably start here. And we'll be in the lucky yellow and blue.
Playing. I'm not a big fan of the playing well and losing that we did at Villa.
That needs to stop.
Yeah. Let's win. Come on. Come on, Jesse.
The note of desperation in your
Please.
Voice. Yeah, it needs to start bearing fruit and pretty quickish, doesn't it? I mean, yeah, we've not won in a while. I mean, and that, the gap for the World Cup has made it feel worse as well, hasn't it? That's the thing. It's only 6 games since we won.
That's quite a long time.
It is a long time. I was being facetious,
yeah.
Mike.
Yeah, that is a long time.
More importantly, Michael, you're going. What time are you starting drinking?
I don't know, actually. I'm getting a lift, so I can start any time.
Is Hooters still there? You went to university in Nottingham, Rob, did you? Is that right?
I don't know anything about Hooters, though.
Because that was always one of the favoured away pubs, wasn't it, in Nottingham, was Hooters, because it's quite close to the station, I think.
Do you tell me?
I'm asking you, Michael.
I've previously drank at Notts County.
Hooters.
When I've been there.
Nottingham. So, is it still even there?
So we'll see.
It's still there. It appears to still be there, but they have all you need. Hot wings, burgers, steaks, ribs and salad.
Fair
and
enough.
More sport than you can shake a stick at in glorious HD.
That's the real selling point of Hooters, isn't it? The HD sports coverage.
Also, who's doing it? Who's knocking out SD sports coverage in this day and age?
Yeah, that's true.
But no, looking forward to it. It'd be good. Not been to an away in ages. So.
Yeah, and yeah, I think last time I went, we were drinking in the Notts County bar because they opened that up for away fans, don't they, as well? It's a nice little moneymaker for them before you go over the river to Notts Forest.
That's the one.
What are you feeling in your waters for this one then, Rob? Away win? Or is it going to be another draw? Or dare we even contemplate a defeat?
I think we should win. But I'm saying it with no confidence. It's weird. It's like how I was saying the transfer window went unsettlingly well. I sort of think we should win, but I'm unsettled by saying that. But yeah, let's go for a win.
I think I'm going to be unsettled by their lineup as well, because I just don't know who's going to be in it. I feel like I might turn up and they've signed some different players. Like, I'm just looking down their squad list. They've got someone called Cafu in it. For all I know, that's the real Cafu. I don't know where he's come from. Jack Colback, I thought he'd retired. He's in there for some reason, still playing football. God knows. Let's win. We've got, did you say they're bad at aerial duels or good at them?
That's
one of their few strengths. But we're going to have a big defence, presumably, because we're going to have, Verber or Strouk at left back. McKennie's good in the air as well.
We could talk about that. We could talk about it. Like, rather than just saying stuff about Hooters and wings, we could talk about football.
We don't know anything about it, though, do we?
Yeah, but who would you put in? Would you put Big Sexy Pirate at left back, Verber and Cooper at the back, maybe? A lot of left footies.
Let's properly roll the dice and see what Furpo does.
You think so?
Robin Cox suspended, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I suppose you could go Verber and Strouk. Do we know if Cooper's fixed? He's been missing a bit recently.
Is this Junior's day? Because he's on a hot streak now, having scored.
He is. Or do we just put Montero straight in?
At left back.
Now let him play centre back. Verber can go to the left. It'd be interesting because we've not seen enough of Verber, have we, in proper football? I know he's played some cup games, but it'll be interesting to see if him being there makes the defence as a whole better, because that's the hope, isn't it, that he's the one bit of magic that somehow fixes everything and he doesn't turn into, you know, Zaliukas. Having had a good few opening games, you start thinking, oh, that's why it wasn't too much money after a little while. But no, we'll I think I said it definitely wouldn't be 0-0 against Brentford, didn't I? So I'll just say that again. Definitely won't be 0-0.
I think I've realised I don't really want to predict very confidently, because the last time we were there was promotion season, wasn't it? And that was absolutely awful. Like one of the really low points where Sadly, Bill Alien had to come out. And
yeah, they're always really up for it, aren't they, for whatever reason against us? It's almost like they don't like us.
They really hate us. I think I might have said before on the podcast, they used to work in their club shop, and yeah, they're really not fans of Leeds. People have come up to me at the counter and start asking me about Forest, and I'm like, I don't care, mate.
So don't know anything about Notts Forest.
One of their players actually once came up and I was serving him, and they all have like accounts where they get all the stuff for free, and I was like, that'll be £40, mate, or whatever. And just this manager like rushing over, like, no, I'll serve him, it's fine, Rob. Don't know who that nobody is.
So away win with no confidence. Michael, definitely not a 0-0.
6-6.
I'll say away win. Whatever, we need one. So let's not even contemplate the alternative. Is that fine?
That's fine.
Here in Yorkshire, we don't like waste. So with energy consumption front of mind these days, there's a lot of focus on conserving it and minimising waste. Boxed have loads of great advice on their website about how to use your heating system as efficiently as possible to help keep your energy bills down. Should you leave your heating on all the time or switch it on and off as needed? Boxed will help you answer that question and plenty more and save you plenty of cash in the long run too. You could save up to £1,150 a year by upgrading to a new, more efficient boiler and using a Google Nest Learning Thermostat. Boxed, take away the hassle of upgrading your boiler to a brand new A-rated one. The process starts on the website, couldn't be easier. Installation is carried out by an expert, qualified installer and is included in the price. 0% finance is available, subject to status. Boxed will give you a fixed, fair price in just 90 seconds. And as a listener to this show, you can save an additional £50 on your online quote by using the code TSB50. So just head to boxed.co.uk, that's boxt.co.uk, and use that code TSB50 to upgrade your boiler and save money now. Part three is heroes and villains, so should we get into that?
Why not?
Why not? Who's up first then in the Ken Bates Villain of the Week Award? Leeds corner, opposition corner, third parties, where do you want to start?
Only one Leeds player, sort of an ex-Leeds player. Nominated this week, Llorente, for fucking up our clean sheet by coming on.
Oh.
There is also one for Ruter, but they're not being sincere. they're basically, it's a House of Stoats is going on the basis that he's been slagging off Junior and the negative reinforcement worked for him.
Right.
So right now he's saying he's a £30 million Tyler Roberts.
Prove me wrong.
Prove me wrong.
let's give him a chance to. Other than that, the genuine nominations, the ref gets a few. That child, we're about the child who was at Accrington here at this point.
Yeah, so it's a fairly light week because of, you know, it was fine, wasn't it?
I really like that we've got nominations for the ref and no one's still learnt his name. I still couldn't tell you myself.
Should we find out?
Yeah, you can do, I suppose.
Talk among yourselves then I'll...
So yeah, the dickhead ref gets, the BM says, and Jesse Blank Whiteboard says that you could actually see his thought dribbling out of his ears as the game went on. First half, shit, I've no VAR, best blow for everything, cover my ass. Second half, made it from my own back here. I'm going to end up giving 6 pence if I don't calm down. Best not give anything for a while. Last half hour, oh, I can't not give that. I'm going to have to book someone. That was essentially his method.
That's a very good summary. I was just trying to think. I can't actually remember. I know he was annoying, but I can't remember what happened. But yeah, that is perfect.
Let's have a look. Right, I'm digging through the various reports.
I think he was called something generic, like Peter Williams.
Or William Peters.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Let's go with that. Apologies if you're Peter Williams. I didn't mean to say you were generic.
Sorry, Peter.
It's a good name.
1-3. I'm just getting a load of, when I look, I'm getting a load of train times between Accrington and Leeds when I look. So I've had to put the score in now in order to try and find out exactly.
Those trains will be cancelled anyway. You can almost guarantee.
Let's have a look. You carry on.
we've run out of things to say about Peter Williams.
Oh, no, I found it. You're right. Here's a generic name. Here's a generic name. Should we have a quiz?
Come on. I've already made my Peter Williams guess. Am I wrong?
You're not. It's not Peter Williams. It's not even like Peter Williams, but it's of the same ilk in terms of it's a very what you might term generic surname.
It's a very Peter Williams-ish name.
The most generic surname.
Smith.
Correct. First name.
William.
No, think of a relatively youngish person's name. Like you wouldn't expect to have a granddad or someone over 60 called this.
Darren.
Wilf.
No.
Darren.
Darren's older, isn't it? Darren's more of like 40, 50 year old man.
Something Smith, come on. You might have a mate called this, like this first name.
Callum.
So it's around that sort of ballpark. Do you want a clue?
Go on.
Starts with a J.
Jaden.
No.
Joseph.
No.
Go on, just tell us.
Josh Smith.
Josh Smith. God, that is very...
Is Josh a young person's name?
Yeah, but
it's youngish.
If you said that the referee is Josh Smith, if you said Joshua Smith, you might think he was a bit older, but if he's Josh Smith, if he's selling himself as that, you're thinking, you're in your 20s or 30s.
Yeah, equally, if he was on loan to Bournemouth, from Bournemouth, I'd be like, oh, okay.
It could be a Bournemouth player.
Yeah, Josh Smith sounds right back.
Next to Simon Francis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello to you if you are a Josh Smith. Get in touch and let us know how you feel about your namesake letting the refereeing world down. Keown gets nominations for
Martin Keown stuff. If you watch the game on the BBC, almost doesn't need an explanation, does it? But yeah,
his inanity, his as Morley Ryan says, monotonous, dull dour. It's all very, very accurate. It's very difficult to listen to, isn't it?
Yeah, and Dickie Wood points out everything he saw was wrong. Fouls where there weren't any, no fouls that were where there were their animals cleaned out a Leeds player. He even gave them man of the match.
Yeah, I didn't. Sarah points that out as well, that he couldn't bring himself to give a Leeds player the man of the match. Who did he give man of the match? I didn't realise that.
I think it was their keeper.
Yeah, who was praised excessively for being, oh, he's 21 years old, look at what he's doing, he's absolutely in his element here, he's doing so well for a young man, you know, you don't see this very often. Stepping, Melier's 22.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
He's going nowhere, that kid.
Yeah.
And he let three in, so dog shit. You should have given it to Bamford, is what he should have done.
Yeah, West Ham Ralph with a nomination for Thame or Tame, or however you pronounce their centre-back. It's got an R in it, actually. Douglas Tharm.
Tharm.
Yeah. Pharmaceuticals.
Big Tharma.
Yeah, indeed. for kicking the back of Bamford and running over and calling him a prick or whatever he did.
Yeah, fair enough. It's been an all right week, really, isn't it? If we're scraping the barrel with that fella. And,
did we give it Keown last week?
I can't remember. We might have done.
Done a lot since then, haven't we?
Keown had criticised Marsh, hadn't we?
Yeah, which we all do as well. But
which we all agreed with, but because he's a Leeds hating bastard. We weren't having it.
We weren't having it from him. That was the thing.
I think Ruber's shout of David Ornstein is a good one as well. Meant to be a serious journal, yet his tweets during the game were piss poor bollocks. And it was like, yeah, just let us enjoy the game. Moscow's written about it in his match report, but it's like, lads, we're playing. You don't have to tell us. Like right now, it's fine. We are here to watch the football, believe it or not. I know that whole industry, kind of the playing of football, gets in the way of it, but just give it 90 minutes, it's fine.
It was like when my dog died when we were on holiday, and we got told as soon as we got there, like, dog had died. It kind of took the shine off the whole holiday. We'd rather not have known until afterwards, until we got back.
Who was looking after it?
He was in kennels.
Oh, it's bad for the kennels as well, isn't it?
Nah, it's fine. They know exactly what they're doing. We bought them. It's the breeder that bred them.
And then they sold you another one. You're a mug. Sorry, I'm making light of your dead dog.
No, yeah. It wasn't that old. He was only 9 and a half. Big dog.
He was a big dog.
Just laid down and went to sleep. Bless him.
Yeah.
Oh, Henry. Anyway.
So those breeders, they're nominated.
No, they're not. They're good people.
Fair enough.
Right. Martin Keown, ref, child ref.
Yeah, give it to him. What, I've forgotten his name already. Josh Smith.
Our mate Joshy.
I mean, actually, no, give it to Keown. He's fucking awful. He brings nothing.
Feels like we're punching down a little bit with little Joshy.
Yeah, it does. Keown's ugly enough to take it.
Yeah. So we'll punch up instead and aim it at Keown. Yeah, he does make everything worse, doesn't he, Martin Keown?
Yeah. He brings nothing.
I've got no interest in anything he's got to say.
Good. Case closed, Your Honour. Sorry, we rest our case, Your Honour, because the lawyer doesn't say case closed, do they?
Have you been chatting to Levi?
Right, let's get on to the Catano Berardi Hero of the Week Award and deal with who is on course to be our player of the season and man of the match for that game against Accrington. Pat Bamford got it, taking it away from Jackie Verber. Sinisterra all scored above 7. Very good.
Firpo nearly did. 6.98.
Oh, so close, Junior.
So close.
Yeah, and Jorginho came just shy of 7 as well. And that child referee got 2.23 out of 10.
Bless him. The refs always get, I think the best the refs had this year has been about 5.7 or something. So it's on a different scale as the refereeing. But
very harsh that Diego Llorente on his final appearance for Leeds gets the lowest rating as well. Below Matteo Joseph. Didn't he come on for about 2 minutes at the end?
Did nothing wrong though, did they?
That's true.
Didn't concede a goal.
Did Diego do anything wrong?
He was on the pitch when we conceded. I think I did see an argument that because it had all gone wrong at that side of the pitch, because of him, it meant other players got dragged across trying to cover his mistakes.
That's too technical for us. Player of the year, then Willy Nonto still on course for that with 7.6 average out of 10 over the course of the season. Tyler Adams second. We can't include Jorginho just yet. He's only played about 10 minutes. So,
but he's better than Melier. That's what we're saying after one performance against Accrington.
I mean, if Harrison, Melier, Ruta, Adams and Nonto kind of finish the season quite poorly, there's a chance that Matt Click could win this award, which I would endorse.
Yeah, he's still doing.
That really would be fun.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Although it would mean an end of the season that we didn't enjoy very much. Right, which of those players is in the pool for the Hero of the Week award? Jackie, Bamford, Junior's in there, Verber. Who else?
I mean, Bamford's the main one, and Dan says anything other than Pat Bamford is wrong, which I like as an argument. So links our play and is our glue.
It was nice seeing him be interviewed on the BBC afterwards, wasn't it?
Yeah.
As an antidote to listening to Keown.
Yeah, he was enjoying football, which is something I don't think Keown ever does. Even when he's something really good has happened, he always likes to talk about it in really grave terms. Like, well, he's going to have to do that on a sustained basis now. It's like, just fucking enjoy what you've...
It's a game.
Enjoy it for a second, Martin. But the hell, it's not even your team. It's not even like you've got... It's not even like you've got the dread of having to support this. He's just very boring about everything, isn't he? But yeah, he does make the point that if he'd been fit, Bamford, this is not Keon, Bielsa would still be here and Marsh would still be doing TED Talks on how to spoof your way through life.
Come on. Zach is also saying that he's on the plane for World Cup 2026. Is Pat Bamford on the basis of that performance against Accrington? And I'm all for it.
He does look better though, doesn't he? Like physically, we commented earlier in the season when he came on, like his running and his touch just looked weird. Like he looked like he'd lost use of his legs temporarily.
I think he was still injured basically, wasn't he? They just couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. But yeah, he's even just seeing him call that defender a fucking daft twat. It's like, oh, it's the Bamford we all love. He's great.
I bet McKennie's going to be good for him in terms of upping his trash-talking game.
Yeah, maybe.
Because Bamford's always been perceived as being a bit nice. I want McKennie to give him lessons in trash-talk.
Yeah, daft twat is very light, isn't it? That's like what you say to your mate if he's like spilt something.
He's
yeah.
perfect, though, for an Accrington defender. He's so condescending. I mean, just like, you daft twat.
I look forward to... Pat maybe giving some verbals to Sean Dyche when we play Everton, because if Bamford's still on the bench at that point, won't be too far away from each other.
Maybe it'll be in the starting 11 by then.
Yeah, and what will Pat say and what will Sean Dyche say?
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, won't we?
What do you think, Rob? What do you imagine Pat might say to him?
I think he's going to call him a fucking daft twat again.
Yeah. What do you think Dyche would say to that?
He'll maintain a dignified silence. Is what I think he'll do.
But just imagine if he didn't.
I think he'll not want to get involved in any touchline shenanigans. So we'll just
come on. He loves that.
He'll just look at
he's
him.
He's a man that's the red mist's going to descend.
Just imagine Pat Bamford patting Sean Dyche on the head, calling him a fucking daft twat
after he scored three.
Yeah, with his right foot, and it was Palace where they didn't know what foot he used, wasn't it? Mm. Not Burnley.
What do you think?
I just don't think it's anything.
You know. Absolutely not biting today, are you?
No, not today. Not today. So Jackie got nominations for scoring.
Yep.
And also, I suppose he needs some now for staying as well.
Yes.
I've no idea whether he
insisting.
Wanted to.
He put his foot down and said, I'm staying. It's all fine and well trying to sell me. I'm staying.
He chained himself to McKennie, my head. Said he wasn't leaving. Said if I'm going, he's coming with me.
Mm. Is that right?
That's what I believe happened.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Good lad. George Washington gets some love from Wedge for inventing America. Is that, did that happen in that order?
It's probably a bit. There are different versions of history, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think it was invented as such.
No.
It was there for a while. I mean,
most of my knowledge from about like the Founding Fathers comes from Hamilton the musical, which is a big favourite in our house at the minute.
Okay.
And the songs are stuck in my head.
Can you do us one now?
No.
So you see, you're asking me to perform. You won't even do it. You won't even perform a short musical number.
Hamilton is one of those shows. It's on Disney Plus, by the way, if you want to find it. Hamilton is one of those shows where there's no dialogue. Everything is sung.
Ah, okay.
So we could start doing that where we do the Square Ball musical. In fact, that you know, we're doing the live show at the Carriage Works and we've got no idea what we're doing yet.
Oh, yeah.
Proper old.
The Square Ball
Don
musical.
Reeves squad vibes to it.
We could do panto.
Can you sing? I personally cannot.
I mean, I can sing. Whether it's in tune or not is a different matter.
I've heard Oddie's brilliant at singing.
Okay, we'll bank on him.
Radrazani gets some love from Bay Area Brandon or the 49ers in brackets. I mean, I'm sure
I added the brackets there.
All right. I'm sure that Andrea Radrazani would like to receive credit for the spending spree in January, which, you know, you look back at previous Januaries.
He's had all this money all this time.
And hasn't spent £70 million in January. In fact, we heard the chief executive write it print into print, didn't they? Opportunities, eight-figure sums, not materially better than the pathway and all that. So, what's changed, do you think, in the last few months?
Who could say?
Do you not know?
But I think Radrazzani's done a good job making that final breakthrough with Juventus.
He did. Do you think he did well?
Yeah, I've always liked Radrazzani. And, yeah. I'll say no more, in fact.
Firpo mentioned good finishing. Better than Ruta, said House of Stoats. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
On the evidence of Accrington, yeah. Ruta should have scored with his first touch. Junior stroked one home.
I mean, Junior's been trying to do this for 2 years, hasn't he, it seems, but...
Maybe he's improving.
And he did a nice dance.
It was nice to see him. I like to see players enjoying goals.
Yeah.
Which actually, Jackie, what were you doing? Looking all miserable with yours.
He's a cool celebrator, though, Jackie, isn't he? He always looks like, for example, at Swansea, which was essentially like the apex of on-field celebrations when it came to promotion. Jackie had just run a long way and he looked absolutely exhausted. He tends to just kind of, it's just a...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Although he did follow my advice, didn't he?
What, hit it dead hard into the net?
It was really hard, that. If I'd have scored a goal like that, I'd have run around pointing at where it had gone, going and going, oh, see how hard that was?
You see
I
that?
Fucking caught that, didn't I? But that's because it would have been a miracle.
Yes, indeed. Verba, some love as well. And Bielsa for rejecting Everton. Well done, Marcelo.
Yeah, that was good.
Oh, it was hilarious. It was brilliant. It's one of my favourite Bielsa things, actually. I'm so happy he's still as unique as he always was.
Yeah, and willing to fly to England when he's essentially already been established that they want a manager for now. And he's like, let me just go over it again. You might change your mind.
I mean, I was saying beforehand, like the way they've ended up signing nobody, they'd have been better off just giving him the 21's job than accepting it, because they seem to have given up anyway.
Yeah, and instead now they've got Sean Dyche trying to... I mean, bloody hell, Sean Dyche didn't like Pat Bamford, did he? What's he going to make of Dominic Calvert-Lewin?
Dear Lord. Yeah.
All Bamford did was get a lift from his mum and dad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I don't think his brain will quite be able to compute the pictures he's going to be seeing of Calvert-Lewin. He's going to think it's some sort of a joke.
He's going to have beaten Tom Davis by the end of the season.
Who's your hero of the week? Bamford, isn't it?
Patrick.
It's Pat. It's lovely to have him back. And it's lovely that his hot streak has provoked so many mug sales.
Yes.
To the extent that...
There's been a bit of an issue with the mugs.
So just to fill you in on the backstory of this, we had about, 120 mugs left?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, we just could not flog them for love nor money. So we reduced the price, mentioned it on here, sold out.
Yeah, and the problem was, Royal Mail, I'm blaming the Royal Mail for this, in fact.
Right.
And Moscow, because he does the labels. But Royal Mail stopped doing international post because they had some cyber attack thing. So no international post was sent out. Some international people had bought Pat Bamford mugs. In the meantime, we'd set the stock levels, not accounting for the people who bought them.
Right. They hadn't come off the number because we hadn't sent them.
No.
Right. So we've actually oversold them.
Yeah.
And what's happening now?
Don't know.
we're having to get more printed, aren't we?
Either getting more printed or I might just email people, and depending on how quickly we can get them printed, I might be emailing people saying...
A reprint of Pat Bamford.
Offering a Dan James mug. Yeah.
He's still our player, Dan James.
Mm. Yeah, Rafinha's not. We've got quite a lot of those mugs.
Yeah, people liked Rafinha, though.
Yeah, he was good, wasn't he?
Dan James, bless him. We didn't get him back, did we, Dan James? Because there was talk at some point that...
They had to convert one of their loans into a permanent in order to sign somebody else on loan, because I think you're only allowed two... Into Premier League loans, aren't you, at a time? And it wasn't Dan James they made permanent.
Damn it. The Roma want him? we've got a mug buyer. Not in the Pat Bamford mug respect, indeed. But you know, they'll take anything.
Please do check out the mugs on the website, by the way. We've got a lot discounted, mainly players who don't longer play for us and the ones we couldn't shift. But look, you know, don't miss out, because the demand is high, isn't it?
And when
we mention it.
And there may be a Willy Nonto mug soon.
Yeah, there's a Willy Nonto mug coming soon and some other stuff as well, so look out for that.
We can sell more of them than we've had printed as well.
Why not? That does wrap up the weekly show for this time. Hope you enjoyed the lookout for the guide as well, which will come out before this show, but we're recording it afterwards. That's the magic of doing podcasts, isn't it, and video, is that you can put stuff out in any order you want. And the guide is TSB Guide to, is it, Berardi's debut, the sending off against Accrington.
Yes, we're sticking with the Accrington theme, and a memorable day.
And we will hear from, it was Will Hatfield, wasn't it?
It was, Rob, yes.
Who was on the receiving end of that scissoring.
Former Leeds Academy player. I spoke to him last Friday for the blog, admittedly after I'd got in touch with the wrong player. But he was keen to chat to us as well.
What a good lad. Great bunch of lads. Right, so we've got the Phil Hay Show towards the back end of the week and the match ball after the Notts Forest game on Sunday. We'll see you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.